Just want to say how much I appreciate the music this morning and the way it, almost every single song today reflects so well what we are hearing in our readings. Thank you for your discernment in that, leaders in Jubilation. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, in today's gospel, the subtitle, in my Bible anyhow, before the very first verse in the very first chapter of Mark states, the proclamation of John the Baptist. I think that's kind of significant, don't you? It isn't Jesus was born in Bethlehem or Mary is visited by an angel. It's the proclamation of John the Baptist. Now, Mark's first verse does clearly state the premise of his gospel. He says, the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. No active verbs here. It's like a title, isn't it? A proclamation in itself. Mark's recounting of the story of good news begins with John the Baptist. And in fact, while the Christmas narrative is found in only two of the Gospels, Matthew and Luke, we hear about John in all four, either at or very close to the beginning of each. And so much of the telling of John in the various Gospels underlines his significance. For John is undeniably the transitional figure linking the Old and the New Testaments. He's a pivotal figure, right? Those pivots, those hinges in the story of the salvation history of God, that big story arc of God's relationship with the people he loves and wants to save that we read about through the entire Bible. We can tell he's very special. We read in Scripture that prophets foretold his coming. An angel visited his father to inform him of the significance of the son that was to be his. His mother's pregnancy was miraculous, his birth meticulously recorded. He lived a life preaching repentance and of the coming kingdom. He had many disciples, criticized the religious leaders of the day, and in the end was killed for speaking truth to power. A martyr and a prophet. Wait a minute. Who are we talking about here? John or Jesus? Both. Apart from Jesus Christ, who kind of one-ups John because he is the Son of God, John the Baptist is probably the most theologically significant figure in the Gospels. Jesus himself acknowledged the central role that John played in God's plan of salvation. John, said Jesus, was the greatest born among women because he had the privilege of pointing to the Lamb of God. He was the way paver, the proclaimer. He was the one trying to get everyone ready for the big event. Now, up until this time, it had been 400 years since the last prophets had spoken to the people of Israel. It's known as this big period of silence, God's silence. In the final book of the Old Testament, which is Malachi, it means messenger, because we really don't know the name of the actual author. In Malachi, the prophet warned the people of Israel to turn back to God. Again, right? I know, right? Again. They had not held up their end of the covenantal relationship with their creator and benefactor. Big fat surprise. This has been the, right? This has been the pattern of the people of Israel from the very beginning. And the prophet says there would come a time when justice would again be established, but first, the Lord would send a messenger to prepare the way for his own appearance. And so John's coming is heralded and foretold in Malachi, as well as in Isaiah, which we heard this morning. John's coming is heralded as he himself will herald the imminent appearance of Jesus as the Messiah, the Son of God. And because it's imminent, John's message and preaching, his warning, is that of an end times prophet shouting urgently to repent, for the kingdom of God of heaven is near. Christ is coming. It's now or never, folks. It's John who enters the scene prior to Jesus, stirring hearts, creating excitement, gathering people at the River Jordan to hear his message of repentance. Have them confess their sins and receive baptism. Become purified, clean of heart, born anew in preparation to meet the Messiah, the Son of God. There's no time to lose. It's an apocalyptic message, isn't it? Prepare, heads up, get ready. That day is coming soon. Been hearing a lot about that over the past several weeks, haven't we? Apocalyptic messages as we prepare once again to celebrate the birth of Christ while being reminded of his coming again on that day and time. We don't know exactly when. John's message should be as urgent to us now as it was to John's followers then. John's urgent warnings weren't brand new to his listeners, just as it isn't brand new to us today. We've heard this over and over, at least once each year on the second Sunday of Advent, we've heard this, right? But we've been hearing this all through November leading up to Advent, and now as we move through Advent, know this unusual man, this ascete with long hair, wearing garments of camel hair, eating locusts and honey. He was repeating the warning of the prophets from hundreds of years prior to his time. But he offered something new. The warning was accompanied by the promise, hope, an offer of salvation achieved through repentance, through confession, through baptism. And baptism by John in the River Jordan was very symbolic in a number of ways. It was likely an adaptation, an extension of Jewish purification rituals, because they often had these cleansing, these bathing rituals before very specific religious rites. So it was not weirdly new to his followers. And the River Jordan is significant in the history of the people of Israel because it was this river they had to cross to reach the promised land. So through this act of baptism, they were crossing metaphorically to a new life. This act of baptism was like the end of an exodus out from one's own personal wilderness. Through this act of baptism, the penitent became a new creation, was reborn. Jesus himself comes to the Jordan to be baptized by John. There is some speculation that Jesus may have been a follower of John for a while. But this time, when he comes to be baptized, the baptism was for a different purpose. For when he arose from the water, the Holy Spirit descended upon him, and the voice of God proclaimed Jesus' sonship, just as John had been telling people. This moment was the kickoff of Jesus' own ministry. Jesus knew it, and John knew it. Jesus had arrived. The wait was over. At the Wednesday evening study group, Reverend Chris led us in some discussion and examination around the idea, the concept of waiting. I think most of us found out that we were not very good at it. It's easy to be impatient. The word Advent means the coming or arrival of someone important. And so during the liturgical season of Advent, the readings focus on the advent of God, waiting for God. And both, we hear that in the Old Testament prophets, who longed for God's coming to save his people, and also in the New Testament, with the anticipation, the waiting of the Messiah's arrival in the birth of Jesus Christ. But we also realize that in our longing for the return of Jesus Christ at the end of the age, when all manner of thing shall be well, as St. Julian of Norwich would say. And we had a beautiful description of that from our second reading this morning, didn't we? What will happen at the end of the age, which comes like a thief in the night. No one knows the day or hour. Be ready. Be prepared. So on the second Sunday of Advent, how does John's message, his proclamation, speak to you? Is there something you have yet to do in preparation for the coming of the Messiah, the Son of God? What do each of us carry here for which we have yet to repent? What kind of housekeeping needs to be done before we welcome the Savior into our hearts? As Christians pilgrimaging on our faith journey before we walk the road to the manger to welcome and worship the Christ child, perhaps we need to take a little side trip through the desert and listen again for the echo of John's proclamation. May we be truly prepared for the Lord's coming this Christmas and again on that day and hour which no one knows. Be prepared. Amen.